You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show, where home solutions live. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Pick up the phone, give us a call right now at 1-888-MONEYPIT with your home improvement question, your do-it-yourself dilemma, your challenge. What's impacting the way you operate your home, the way you live in your home, the way you enjoy your home? We're going to help you make it better, make it safer, make it more comfortable, make it more energy efficient. Pick up the phone, give us a call right now at 1-888-MONEYPIT. Hey, it's April, and later this month, we're going to all celebrate Earth Day. So to kick off Earth Month, we're going to have an extended look at how green home solutions can benefit the environment and your wallet. And who couldn't use a little extra green in either form these days? So first up, we're going to separate the hype from the reality and teach you what to look for to determine if a product is truly, truly green.
And also ahead, we're going to teach you the best way to recycle the batteries that you use around your house. And we're going to tell you about a new battery that you don't have to recycle at all.
And we're going to talk about why houseplants can make your home green in more ways than one. They can add life and color to your rooms, but they can also help you breathe a bit easier. We'll explain that coming up.
And we're giving away this hour to one lucky caller, the APC Backups ES750G, which is a combination battery backup for your computer and surge protector as well. So it's two fantastic products in one. And it's going to help you save up to $40 a year on your electric bill. In fact, it is the greenest battery backup in its class, and it could be yours for free.
It's worth $99.99, but it's going to go out to one caller that reaches us today at 1-888-MONEYPIT, 888-666-3974. Let's get to those calls. Leslie, who's first?
Gloria in Illinois, you've got the Money Pit. What can we do for you today?
I had a new kitchen sink put in, and it was not level. So they told me to shim it, which I did. But it now needs to be resealed because it's not level. So can you tell me what I seal it with?
Yeah, are we talking about the edge where it overlaps the countertop, Gloria?
Right.
Okay, well, the best thing to use for that purpose is a kitchen and bath caulk. And the reason the product should say kitchen and bath caulk is because it's treated with a mildecide. Of course, being a very damp area, if it's not treated with a mildecide, you're going to have some problems with mold growth. DAP makes a product that's a kitchen and bath caulk with an additive called Microban, and it's very effective at not growing molds.
Microban.
And the manufacturer is DAP, D-A-P. So look at the DAP kitchen and bath caulk,
okay.
And I think that you'll find that that's probably the best way to seal that. Very inexpensive, by the way. We're only talking about a couple of dollars for the caulk, and you definitely can do it yourself.
Chris in Connecticut is dealing with a leaky bath. What can we do for you?
In the first floor bathroom, I noticed a little while ago that there were some water spots, and they got bigger, and they actually bored small holes. And the ceiling is right below the second floor bathroom, where the kids, on unfortunately more than one occasion, have splashed a bit of water out of the tub. I tried sealing around the water line, but is there a way to seal around the toilet flange as well?
This is a children training issue, Chris.
Yes, there is that too.
Okay.
Take all the fun out of bath time.
Yeah, exactly. Your floor is not designed to act like your tub in terms of holding water. If the water goes over the tub in any type of quantity, it will leak down into the ceiling and eventually show across that area.
And it will leak through the grout as well, right?
Yeah, it'll go through everything. So, I mean, when we caulk, say, between a floor or a wall and a tub, it's really for cosmetic issues. Sure, if you get a little bit of water splash there, it makes it easier to clean up. But it's not going to stop the water from actually going right through the floor. Now, if it only happens occasionally, you get, you know, the occasional water stain, it's not going to cause structural damage. It's not going to cause the drywall to sag or anything like that. It's mostly a cosmetic issue, Chris.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for calling 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
He can always keep the shower curtain closed when the kids are in the tub.
That's what we did.
Really?
You know, we, in fact, you know, our kids love to splash so much, we'd let them splash, but just, you know, put the shower curtain inside the tub and let them go to town. It works.
You are tuned to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It is officially Earth Month. That's correct. April is Earth Month, and we can help you get your home green. So give us a call and let us help you do just that at 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
888-666-3974. Speaking of the pending Earth Day, are you being greenwashed? You know what that is? That's the manufacturers that are out there claiming that everything under the sun is green when maybe it's not. How do you tell if a product is in fact truly green? How do you know if it really is going to save the environment and save you some money? Or is it just being hyped as being green? We're going to help you figure that out next.
You're in a money pit.
The Money Pit is brought to you by APC. Protect your computer with APC's newest energy-efficient backup 750G. Guaranteed power protection that can save up to $40 a year on your electric bill. For more information and a chance to win, visit moneypit.com/green. That's moneypit.com/green. That's moneypit.com/green. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Where home solutions live. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Give us a call right now at 1-888-MONEY-PIT, 888-666-3974. If you do, we'll throw your name in the Money Pit hard hat, because this hour we're giving away the APC Power Saving Backups ES. It's the model 750G. Can save you up to $40 a year on electrical costs, but more importantly, it can save your data. Have you ever been working on the computer when you lost power? Maybe you blew a circuit breaker in your house. Maybe the power went out on the street. A power saving backups can prevent the data from being damaged, because the battery will carry on and power that computer. Now, this backups also includes a surge protector, and it is absolutely the greenest battery backup out there. It's worth $99. Going to go out to one caller that reaches us today at 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
All right, well, that's a great green prize that we're giving away this hour. And green is definitely the word. We are hearing it everywhere we turn. Every time we step into a home center or turn on the television, you cannot avoid the word green. And you're seeing all of these products being touted as being good for the environment, but how do you know that the manufacturer is telling you the truth? So here are a few ways to make sure. First of all, you want to start with the manufacturer themselves. You know, green begins at the industrial birthplace of the product that you're looking at. So check out the manufacturer's website or the product info written on the packaging. You want to look for a written working environmental policy. Then you want to go ahead and check the contents. You want to find out what raw materials go into a product, where they come from, and you need to keep in mind the long distance that maybe the product has to transport to get from where it's made to when it gets to you. That's another big green impact. So you want to make sure it's not traveling great distances. And you also want to take a look and make sure that it's not a product that's going to release VOCs, which are volatile organic compounds. So you want to look for something that says low VOC or no VOC or no off-gassing to make sure that it's not emitting hazardous chemicals into the air in your home.
Need more tips to help you figure out how green a product really is? We're going to have them, the complete list, in the next Money Pit e-newsletter. It's available free online at moneypit.com. And remember, we keep your email to ourselves. 888-666-3974. Leslie, who's next?
Linda in New York needs some help with a question about whether to take on a remodeling project or not in this economy. What can we do for you, Linda?
I live in New York City suburb, and in this recession era when housing and values and prices are faltering, is it wise to invest approximately $50,000 into a new kitchen?
Okay. Well, look, I don't think you have to spend $50,000 on a new kitchen in this market. I think there's probably less expensive things that you can do. Unless your kitchen is really, really dated. How old is your house?
From 1947.
Oh, is it the original 1947 kitchen?
No. We have new appliances, the stainless steel, granite countertop and granite floors, and the very inexpensive laminate cabinets. The problem with it is it's a very tiny kitchen, and we thought to expand into a room adjoining the kitchen that is a little sitting room.
All right, so this is more than just remove and replace of cabinets. You're really talking about a major
new
remodel
layout
here. Yeah, totally new layout. Well, look, we don't want to tell you to spend a whole lot of money on the house right now, but I will say that if you're going to choose one thing to do, a kitchen or a bathroom always gives you the best return on investment. But I would say tone it down. Don't go luxury everything. You know, be realistic based on the market today and choose products that are going to still give you a good-looking kitchen, you know, without spending a whole lot of money. So I would tone down the granite countertops, the Corian tops, you know, the real expensive appliances, maybe reuse what you have.
I still think that those solid surfacing or even natural stone countertops are a huge selling point when people are in the market, you know, especially if you've got something that's neutral in coloration that will work with all types of, you know, paint colors and choices that a new homeowner might make coming in the future. And remember, you know, your previous owners in the house that you're in, you know, they made a bad decision in putting a super expensive countertop on a very inexpensive cabinet. You want to make sure that you sort of match up because you don't want the cabinet to, you know, not last as long as your countertop is going to.
Yeah, but I just don't think it's a good time to do a luxury upgrade. I would be very budget conscious if I was going to do this. I would either not do it or I'd be very budget conscious. And if I was going to not do it, you may want to think about, you know, other ways to make a small kitchen look big. You may want to think
lighter
about some
colors.
Yep.
Different window treatments.
Replacing the doors with ones that have clear glass, lighting, you know, improving. Well, you said the floor and the countertops are great. So, you know, changing the hardware on the cabinets, you know, adding dimmers, that sort of thing.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate your help.
All right, Linda, hope that helps you out. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY. But, yeah, I just don't feel like it's a good time to do a luxury upgrade right now.
You know, meanwhile, our neighbors just pulled up a dumpster. They're about to take on a major kitchen remodel. It's just amazing to me that
there's
I'm seeing
no recession on Leslie Street.
It's amazing. New houses are going up. People are doing construction projects and big ones. But, you know, it's just so interesting that people are tackling such huge projects right now.
Well, maybe it's a positive sign of a soon-to-return economy. We can all hope.
Woody in Ohio is dealing with a bouncy floor. What's going on?
Well, when I walk in the dining room, my china cabinet begins to rattle somewhat. I'm kind of curious, how could I stabilize my floor joists without having to go and replace the joists, all my wiring going through and what have you?
Not really. Woody, how old is your house?
About 86 years old.
That's a pretty old house, yeah. Well, in an older home, typically the spans on the floor joists are a lot longer and the joists themselves are narrower than what you would have today. And so what I would do in this case is I would suggest you put in a mid-span girder. And this does not have to be really complicated because we're not really holding up the house here. We're really just sort of taking the flex out of that floor. So what you would do is you would go downstairs. Is this on a basement?
Yes.
Okay, so you'd go downstairs to the basement, and you would install a beam that would be comprised of maybe 3 2x8s ought to do it, mid-span between the two ends of the joists that cover the dining room area, right down the middle. Make sure you have good contact to all the floor joists, and because it's an old house, you may do a little shimming here and there to make sure you have good contact. And I would support that beam with probably 2 or 3 lolly columns. Now, you could probably put it right on the concrete floor because, again, we don't necessarily want to do anything more than take the flex out of this. If you want to do a real super good job, you could dig out the floor and pour a little footing there, maybe something that's about 18 inches deep by about 18 inches square. But at least to start with, I would just put a beam in the middle of the span of these dining room floor joists, and that will take the flex out of it, and you won't hear the china rattle the next time you walk across the room.
Now, when you're assembling this, Tom, would you do sort of a staggered situation with a 2x4 so that it can become like one long continuous piece, you know, so like maybe the two end ones are even with each other and the middle one staggers out half of the distance so that you have areas to constantly attach things to, almost like a Lego?
Not 2x4s, you mean 2x8s.
Oh, 2x8s, I'm sorry.
I would use as few seams as possible, and the rule of thumb whenever you construct a load-bearing beam like that is if you have a joint in the beam, like if you had a triple beam with 3, say, 2x8s, and there was a seam somewhere, that seam would always be over a post. You don't have to be quite as strict about this because, again, we're not really holding up much of the house. So we're just taking the flex out of the floor. But putting a mid-span girder in there will solve this problem.
Okay, so it should be just the length of the dining room area in itself, and that'd be it?
And across, perpendicular to the floor joists that are there right now.
Okay, 2x8s and three of them.
Yep.
What method would you use to fasten the two by eights together? Would it be glue and screws or
no,
what?
No, I would just nail them together.
All right, then. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Woody. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEYPIT. You know what you call it when the glassware moves? China syndrome.
No, you really can just do this to your own home without getting any approval from an engineer.
It's not an engineering job. It's not. I mean, this is a little trick of the trade for just taking the flex out of floor joists. If I was concerned about Woody supporting some load-bearing portion of his house, then, of course, we would recommend the appropriate professionals be involved. But in this case,
should you get it approved by an inspector if you intend on selling the house at some point?
I don't think it's that complicated a project. Again, we're just taking the flex out of these beams.
All right. Sharon in Texas, you've got the Money Pit. What can we do for you today?
I have a five-year-old Nubuck leather love seat that has urine stain on it, and I don't know how to get it out. I've tried just some mild dishwashing detergent.
Okay.
And it may have taken the urine out, but there's still like a watermark on it.
Okay, because the problem with leather, especially when you need to clean a stain off of it, is that you can't use too much water. And I know a lot of these online sites will recommend using a mild detergent and water. But the trick is when you mix the detergent and the water, you need to use like an electric mixer. Because you want to create such an emulsion of foam that you really only want to work with the foam. So this way you would take the foam and you want to use a very brand spanking new sponge, a clean new sponge, and you want to scoop up just the suds and then wash the entire area. And you need to make sure that you wipe and don't scrub. And then you just want to keep doing that until you clean the stain completely. And then you need to really let it dry. And you want to place, you know, a towel on it and really sort of get up as much of that moisture as you can. Now that you're dealing with a water stain, you know, it could be something that requires a professional cleaning because a water stain is very difficult to remove from leather. But what you want to do is, you know, you just really need to be careful and you want to sort of dampen the leather. You want to kind of extend the water stain, if you will, to make the entire cushion appear as if it's, you know, slightly changed. It should then match.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So you want to make sure what you can do is you can take a new sponge again. You always want to work with a new sponge with leather because leather will absorb odor. And if you've been washing dishes, it could smell kind of mildewy. So you want to take a dry, a new sponge. Then you want to take room temperature water and you want to wring that sponge out as much as possible. And you want to start at the spot where your water stain is and you want to dampen the leather until you reach the edges of the cushion. And you want to wet the leather less and less as you get further and further away from the water spot. And then that should sort of even out the coloration. And then head to the store and pick up some sort of leather conditioner and just apply that in the same way that you would the manufacturer directions recommend, you know, once it's dried. This way it'll all sort of help to change the texture back to smooth and get rid of that water spot. And worst case scenario, flip it over.
There you go.
Sharon, thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show, where home solutions live. Looking for a green solution to help you celebrate Earth Day? Think about houseplants, but how do you know what the right plant is for your house? We're going to tell you next.
On the Money Pit Radio Show, pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home by calling 888-MONEY.
The Money Pit is brought to you by Therma-True Doors, the nation's leading manufacturer of fiberglass entry and patio door systems. You can count on Therma-True for beautiful, reliable, and easy-to-install entry doors. To learn more, visit Therma-True.com. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And this is where home solutions live. Speaking of which, here is a design tip that's green in more ways than one. You know, adding houseplants to the home will naturally clean the air of indoor toxins while delivering a fantastic look. Now, plants like lady palm, peace lily, and English ivy, they all grow well indoors. They're easy to care for, and they also remove vapors and resist insects.
Yeah, and they're really beautiful. We've got a couple of peace lilies in our house, and you just want to make sure that every so often you take some nice soapy water and just wipe down the surface of the leaves. They love it. It helps them produce more oxygen for your house. So really take good care of them, and they will take good care of you, and they're really nice to look at. If you want some more green design tips, well, they are all at your fingertips all day long, 24 hours a day. When you visit moneypit.com, all you need to do is search green design, and we will give you a whole bunch of great ideas that are going to help the environment and your wallet too.
888-666-3974. Let's get back to the phones. Call us right now with your green home improvement question. 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
Robert in North Carolina needs some heating and cooling ideas. How can we help?
Hey guys, I was just wondering about a greenhouse.
Okay.
Using that for heating and cooling on the house itself.
So you have a greenhouse, as in a greenhouse for plants, attached to your house? Is that what you're saying?
Right. I don't have it attached to the house yet. I'm going to try it on my garage first and see how that works.
Oh, you want to build one?
Right.
Okay,
right.
And you're concerned about the impact on heating and cooling?
Right, and the humidity that's going to be going on with that. Is that going to be a problem?
Well, you need to be separate. You know, it needs to be separated from the house, obviously.
Right.
I will say that it's going to be a very hot, hot space. Unless you use a good quality glass that has a low E coating on it that will reflect the radiant heat out. So if you adjoin it to the outside wall of your house, it's going to be like having a heater attached to the house in the summer. It will drive up your cooling bills.
Right.
Okay.
Put vents on it on the outside.
Well, certainly you could do vents, but I'm just telling you, it's going to make the outside wall warmer and rise your cooling costs unless you have the right kind of glass. So if you're going to do this, you may want to think about using one of the prefabricated ones that has, you know, insulated glass panels with low E coating.
Okay. Well, thank you very kindly.
You're welcome, Robert. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Time for some kitchen counter help with Becky in Minnesota. What's going on at your Money Pit?
Hi, Tom and Leslie. I have an old kitchen counter. It's laminate, and the pattern on it is a butcher black pattern. And the top, the varnish is peeling on it, and I'm just wondering how we could fix that without replacing the countertops, or is there anything I can do to jazz up the countertop, maybe paint over it, or any suggestions you've got?
Well, first of all, laminate countertop does not have a varnish, quote-unquote, on it. So if the surface is wearing off, then it's actually the laminate that's wearing, Becky. So there's nothing that you can do to restore that. Two ideas come to mind. Number one, you can re-laminate an existing laminate countertop. You could put another layer of laminate on top of that for probably less than the cost of replacing the entire top. And the second thing that she could do, Leslie, is to tile it.
Yeah, tiling over laminate is extremely easy, and it's a great do-it-yourself project, especially if you go with those smaller inch square or those quarter-inch mosaic tiles that are on the mesh backing, just because it's so simple to do, and you end up with really very few cuts that need to be made. And the most part, you can do them with those simple mosaic tile snippers, so it's all really manageable. And then the front edge is easy to do as well. You can get a thicker border tile that just has a good smooth back for it that you can find at any tile store. Or if you want to continue those smaller mosaics, there's like a metal edge that you find at the home center. I'm not sure if it's in the tile section. I found it at the Home Depot a gajillion times when I'm doing this, but I don't remember the section. And it's got like a flat edge that would go along the counter edge, and then it sort of dips down into a tray on the bottom, and that would be like the buffer to stop those tiles from falling off.
I am very excited about that. I never really thought you could do it that way. What an easy project that could be.
Yeah, and it looks great, and you can really change the entire look. Now, if you want to just change the laminate, Formica, Laminart, Wilson Art, those are all companies that make laminates. You can find them through a variety of distributors. And the laminates today, I mean, really look fantastic, and you can get some super edgy, earthy style sort of designs or colors that you might be jazzed about, too.
And they can go right over top of the existing countertop.
Yes, they can. You need to rough it up just a little bit, but the contact cement will adhere the new laminate right to the old, Becky, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Thanks so much for being part of the Money Pit. Hey, are you looking for the easiest way to go green? Well, the answer is recycle. Up next, we're going to tell you how to recycle all of those rechargeable batteries that you've got around your house, so stick around.
On the Money Pit Radio Show.
Money Pit is brought to you by APC. Protect your computer with APC's newest energy-efficient backup 750G. Guaranteed power protection that can save up to $40 a year on your electric bill. For more information and a chance to win, visit www.moneypit.com/green. That's moneypit.com/green. That's www.moneypit.com/green. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Where home solutions live, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti. Pick up the phone and give us a call. We'd love to hear what you're working on, what kind of green improvements you might be making to your house this Earth Month. And we've got a great prize for one of our lucky callers this hour. We're giving away a very green prize indeed. It is the APC Backups Energy Saving 750G. Now, this is a battery backup for your computer, so you will never lose any data again if you happen to just have the power go out in the instant while you're working on your computer before you've even saved that very important file that you've been working on. Not that I am speaking from experience, but this will help you with that. And it's also a surge protector, so it's all built into one. It's very energy efficient. In fact, it's going to help you save about $40 on your annual electric bill. So it's a great prize. It's super green. It's the greenest battery backup in its category. It's worth $99, but it could be yours for free.
Give us a call right now at 1-888-MONEYPIT for your chance to win this very green product. Now, speaking of green, one way you can cut down on the waste that's going to a landfill is to recycle as much as you can. Some things are easy, especially if you have a recycling program in your community. But what do you do with those old gadgets that include batteries, like old cell phones or rechargeable batteries from your cordless phone? Simple solution. Call to Recycle can help. Just visit rbrc.org and learn where you can recycle these things in your area. It's simple, it's free, and it's a great program.
You know, it really is great. Usually you can just drop it off at a local store in your area. For me, it was at a Staples. I had a whole host of cell phone batteries and they just took them off my hands and I was happy to get rid of them from the kitchen drawer. So take your time, look around your house and recycle those batteries. It really does make a difference. And there's actually one product that we recently learned about, and it's a battery that you don't ever have to recycle, and it's the Fuji Enviromax battery. They come in all the standard sizes and they are completely disposable, so you can just toss it in your regular trash. There's no mercury or cadmium, so it's totally safe around your kids too. And the packaging is also environmentally responsible, so this is a truly green product all around. The website is greenfuji.com for more info. And if you're a new parent like me, you realize, and even if you've got young kids, you realize that every toy that they have has a million batteries in it and they go through them so quickly. So this really can make a huge impact on our environment.
888-666-3974. Call us right now with your green home improvement question. Leslie, who's next?
Rick in Tennessee is dealing with a moisture problem. How can we help?
I've got a finished out garage. It's enclosed and it's finished out. Okay, my concrete, it looks like it's got a finisher, you know, a shine to it. What we like to do is convert the floor to black and white check.
Okay.
Some of the neighbors tried this, and it popped up. It did not stay on the floor. What can we do to make sure if we stripe the floor and paint it black and white, how can we keep the paint staying on the floor?
Okay. Well, first of all, probably the best paint is an epoxy paint for the floor. And using epoxy paint, you have to do an acid wash first. Now, a lot of the epoxy paint manufacturers, when you buy the kits, you know, Quikrete makes one, Rust-Oleum makes one, there is a wash that's in that kit that you mix up and use that to acid wash the floor, make it ready to take the paint. So doing this check pattern, though, it's going to be an awful lot of work. You're going to have to do this very, very carefully because you're only going to be able to do, obviously, one color at a time. You're going to have to wait a number of days for it to dry, remask it, and do the other color. But the key here is to use epoxy paint. Now, the other thing that you could do is there are various garage floor systems out there. I think Gladiator makes one. I know that Craftsman has one that looks like an interlocking tile that will give you that checkerboard look. So you don't have to do it with paint. There are aftermarket systems that will do this as well.
Okay, okay. All right. Is the interlock system, is that something that really, I mean, you run a car over it, it holds up well?
Oh, yeah.
These are designed for that.
Yep, super strong.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, that's what I need to know. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, Rick. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEYPIT.
Now we're going to talk to Jean from Illinois, who has a question about carpeting. What's going on at your Money Pit?
Yeah, I have two wrinkles in my carpet, and I need to know how to get rid of them.
And those wrinkles are driving you crazy, aren't they, Jean?
Yes, they are.
Well, what happens is carpet over the years will stretch, and the only way to eliminate the wrinkles is to restretch the carpet, and unfortunately, it's not a do-it-yourself project. If you've ever seen a carpet installer work, they have a tool called a kicker, which grabs the nap of the carpet and stretches it. And you'll be surprised that if you have that carpet restretched, and I assume it's in otherwise good condition, it will look fantastic. It just needs to be have some of the material taken out. But you'll be surprised at how much of that material will end up being taken out. In an average room, say 10 by 12, you could take out 4 to 6 inches and stretch that carpet back out, and it looks just great. So you need to have a carpet installer come in and re-stretch those areas. That will make those wrinkles disappear.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, because I looked into that, and they kept saying I needed one of these things, but I didn't know how to use them. So it's called a kicker, and I know what that is.
Yeah, but it's not a do-it-yourself project, because
you've
got to be able to reattach it to the tackless, which is the strip at the end of the wall, and that's something only a pro can do.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. Up next, we're going to be checking our inbox for questions from you, and we're going to be answering a question about storm doors. Do you really need them? Find out next.
You live in a money pit.
The Money Pit is being brought to you by Guardian Home Standby Generators, America's choice in power outage protection. Learn more at guardiangenerators.com. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Need some help on a specific home improvement project? Well, head on over to moneypit.com and use our Project Finder tool. You'll get a list of everything we've ever written or said about it right at your fingertips. It's free. It's online at moneypit.com.
And while you're there, you can shoot us an email question, and we're going to jump right into the email bag now. We've got one from Amy who writes, I need to have a new front entry and storm door installed. I'm not sure if I should go with steel or fiberglass as the door faces west and it gets hot between the entry and the storm door. I question durability and maintenance. Any suggestions?
You know, Amy, today you really don't need a storm door. Now, years ago when we only had wood exterior doors, sure, they got very, very drafty. But today the doors are much more energy efficient. They're much tougher. And there's absolutely no need for a storm door. If you want to have a screen door, that's fine. Buy a really good quality screen door. But you absolutely don't need a storm door. Now, as for deciding between steel or fiberglass, pretty much a no-brainer. Fiberglass doors can look just like wood or steel doors if you sort of like the plain look, but they don't rot and they don't rust. They're also 5 times more energy efficient and far stronger too. I'd suggest you take a look at Therma-True. Therma-True is the company that originally manufactured the very first fiberglass door, and they actually have been a sponsor of this show for many, many years. They're a good company. I've met them personally. I've been to their factory, and I really like the product. Their information is online at Therma-True.com.
All right, now we've got one from Scott in Long Island who writes, I love the show. I listen each week via the podcast. Last week, I paid a plumber $125 to unclog my sewer trap, and he said it was due to a buildup of detergent from the washing machine. Hmm. He showed me the caked white detergent that formed. Some were as big as a small baseball.
Wow.
How can I ensure that I don't pay the plumber $125 to $175 bucks per year to correct this? Well, Scott, this is super common if you're using a powdered detergent, especially if you're trying to be green and you're going to do your wash in a cold cycle, and especially if you've got a high efficiency washer. So you want to make sure switch to liquid. You'll be way happier with the results anyway. If you're still going to stick with the powder, use as hot of a water temperature as your clothes will tolerate, as your energy bills will tolerate, because that will help break down that detergent as well. But your best bet is to just switch to liquid, and you'll never have to clean that out again.
You know, and also with that much of a cake up, I can't imagine that's going to happen every year. That's probably never been cleaned before, and it just built up and finally broke loose and clogged the whole system, Scott. So switching to liquid, and you know, you might also want to take a look at the high efficiency detergents that are out there, because you need very little of them to do the job.
Mm-hmm. And it works great for cold water cycles. All right, we've got one from Sally in Alamo, California, who writes, my husband and I are remodeling our bathrooms. We just tiled our bathroom floor. Now we want to tackle our shower and bathtub. Can you tile over an existing shower pan? I think it's either acrylic or plastic.
No, you can't, because underneath those pans there usually is some movement, and what you're going to find is that the tile is going to crack. If you want a true tiled shower pan, you really need to rip out the existing shower pan to line it with fiberglass, to line it with lead, and then tile up from there. It's a really big project, so I'd suggest you leave the shower pan in place and just tile the walls around it. Mm-hmm.
You know what, Sally? It really is a good idea to just leave that existing shower pan that's in there. This way you can do a really great job on the tile, on the walls and the surround for that shower. You can pick out a tile that's inexpensive, but really beautiful to cover the field, and then go ahead and pop in a more decorative tile here and there, or perhaps one that has, you know, a different sheen to it. Just be creative in your design layout, and you can really create a dazzling shower area.
You are tuned to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. Thank you so much for spending this hour with us. We hope that you are going to have a very green month as we all get ready to celebrate Earth Day and think about the ways that we can make our homes more environmentally friendly and help them save us some money at the same time. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Helping you build big dreams.